Hey JD Tribe, and welcome to another episode of the Self-Care Spotlight, brought to you by the Journal Deck, a 52-card deck where journal prompts meet oracle cards to bridge inspiration with action to help you live your best life full of self-care and personal growth, which is now available just until July 31st, and we need your help to get fully funded and go to print. You can check out thejournaldeck.com/shop. So donate even $5 or shop for your very own deck or matching mala necklace. I'm your host and founder, Alyssa Cousins. And today we have my friend Mary Beth LaRue. She is a yoga teacher, coach, writer, and the co-founder of Rock Your Bliss. She's an Iowa girl living blissfully in Silver Lake, Los Angeles with her husband and their lovable English bulldog, Rosie, who's so adorable. Whether it's a sweaty yoga practice, a gratitude meditation, or a conversation over coffee about life goals, her mission is to lead people toward their bliss, sustainable, fulfilling bliss. During her journey of teaching yoga for almost a decade and over 700 hours of training, she's traveled the world teaching professional cyclists yoga. She shared a stage with Michael Franti and even designed custom yoga programs for rehabilitation centers, homeless shelters, and the Down Syndrome Association of Los Angeles. She's taught at multiple Wanderlust festivals, created an online program for Yoga Journal magazine, got certified in life coaching from Martha Beck as well. And she's been featured in Yoga Journal, Huffington Post, National Geographic Traveler, and LA Yoga. She believes that the power of connection, being vulnerable and raw and real, and she believes that our most powerful and potent practice happens off of our yoga mat. You can practice with Mary Beth in Los Angeles if you're ever there at the Wanderlust Hollywood, or you can go to marybethlarue.com/yoga. With all of that awesomeness, I bring you Mary Beth.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being here. It feels really good to have, you know, the other half of Rock Your Bliss, because Jackie was already on the podcast, and I knew that I wanted you to be on it too.
Well, thank you.
I wanted both. Again, context, guys. Okay, how I know Mary Beth was three years ago. I think when I talked to Jackie, we were thinking it was about 3 years ago that you were in Pittsburgh. Is that correct, you think?
I think so. Yeah, about three.
Okay. So about 3 years ago, they came, they did, at that time, it was their largest, correct, event, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so that was really cool that they came, was it called Blissburg?
I think Jackie just coined it that. Of course, she found that immediately. I think she called it Blissburg, but I think it was just called Rock Your Bliss Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I like Blissburg. So they came and they did their thing and it was really awesome. And let's see, after that, it was like, you know, Insta friends, I think, stayed connected in that way. And I actually just got to have another class with Mary Beth. I was at Wanderlust Snowshoe in West Virginia and she had a class, and I went to that, and I actually got to see her again and give her a hug and be like, hey, it's been 3 years. Nice to see you.
Such a treat.
Yeah, it's so cool. I love to keep connecting with people and not just like not just on the screen.
Yes, very, very important to make eye contact and hug humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a great class. It was.
Thank you.
It was awesome. I know everyone was like, oh, that was so great when I talked to my friends afterwards. So you did good up in the mountains there.
With my mom and dad in the back row.
Yes. And I got to meet your parents and they're like so sweet.
Oh my God. They're the best. And I taught six classes I do at every Wanderlust Festival I teach at, and they took all of them. My dad's will be 73 in August. My mom's late 60s, and they're just like, they're such an inspiration. They're down to road trip across the country, take every yoga class. Like, they're so young at heart. It's amazing.
That's what we all can hope for.
Exactly.
To be that way. Yeah, they were sweet as pie. They were like very down to earth, Maybe it's because you guys are from Iowa.
Very proud of my roots.
Yeah, they were really, really sweet. This is such a tangent, but you said because, you know, your dad, you said he's good. They're getting older and they're still, like, super healthy and active. So random, but this morning, literally, a woman stopped me, this old woman, and said, would you mind driving me up this hill? She called to me. I was like, I was a little nervous. I, like, looked to see if she had anything in her hands.
Yeah.
Because even though she's older, I don't know if she's, like, a little, has any issues or, you know. And yeah. She was 92 years old. 92. And she said she walks up this giant hill every day.
Oh, my gosh.
She was so sweet. Her name was Bernie.
I love that.
And she was so sweet.
So you drove her to the top.
Yeah, of course I did. I was like, yeah sure, get in the car. And she proceeds to tell me her name's Bernie. She was born September 14th, 1925.
Wow.
And she had her, you know, dyed red hair, rocking it. And she's was going to hike up this hill. She's like, I've lived here 57 years. And, you know, if you ever want to stop by, come stop by.
Oh, so amazing.
I was like, it. I want to be you when I'm 92.
Totally.
I'm not understating. I live on the top of a hill, Mary Beth, like in Pittsburgh. I mean, you were here. You know, it is like the topography of this city is like hilly.
Yes. Oh, it's a beautiful city.
So I'm at the top of this hill and she was like going to walk up it. And it's summer here. It's hot. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Girl, get in my car.
You'll be on the lookout for her now. Every time you go on the hill.
I know where she lives now. So, yeah, she was sweet. Anyway.
I was so excited to come to Pittsburgh, too, because in college I read Mysteries of Pittsburgh by Michael Chabon. My brother and I both read it, and it's our favorite book. And we would, like, quote it back to each other. And I'd never been. And seeing that city, oh, my gosh. And it happened to be the most gorgeous weekend. It was sunny and beautiful, and I live in Los Angeles, so as we drove by these houses and I saw what they were listed for, I'm like, oh my god. And Jackie always jokes, she's like, you fall in love with every city. This is not true though. I fall in love with some cities, but I totally fell in love with Pittsburgh and was ready to like pack my bags. But I'm definitely a California girl.
You definitely are Yeah, you like ooze California girl, like in the best way possible.
Thank you.
You really
Thank
do.
You. But, that makes this Iowa girl very happy.
Yeah. I mean, you would like Pittsburgh, except for when the winter came, and then you'd like be like me, and you're like, I'm having seasonal depression.
I'm out. Yep.
Yeah, like peace. Yeah, that's pretty much how it is for me. We get like sun lamps. Okay, so circling back, self-care. So my first question I always love to ask people to get their answer and see what they have to say is, what does self-care mean to you?
Self-care to me is how I restore. So restoration, whether it's in the moment or whether I have 2 hours for it, I think is absolutely imperative. Both as a woman and in our culture right now, we're so saturated with social media, with email, with news, responsibilities, maybe being, you know, a mom and making it in your career. There's so many different things. And for me, self-care is quiet time to restore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I meditate every day, and sometimes that's just those 10 minutes. And mostly I'm able to carve out more time to like really craft a ritual around self-care.
Is your meditation different every day, or do you have a favorite? What does that look like?
For the most part, it's just seated breath meditation, sometimes with like some specific pranayama breath work, but it's anywhere from on some day, you know, I give myself, if I meditate for every day, then that means if some days all I have is 5 minutes, I make it okay. Because it gives me this sense of permission that what I'm doing is a positive and not wrong. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I have to sit this long and I'm right. Like scolding myself. And usually I would say the longest I sit is 30 minutes, and that's like fairly rare.
Yeah.
But mostly just breath meditation. And I have this little app on my phone called Habit Bowl, and you put the habits that you want to make. So like no coffee for me. And I have that like 6 days a week. So if I want to have a coffee, it's okay. But I know for me to show up as my best self, like, a lot of coffee is no bueno. And a meditation, moving my body 5 days a week. And I just have that there. And then I just select it. And so just knowing every day that I've done it feels really good. And to be able to see how long I've been doing it for.
Right. I think that, yeah, meditation is one of those things, like, I think if you, if, yeah, I agree. If you put like that, the should on it, like I should be sitting here for this long.
Yeah.
It just, it like sucks out the joy and it feels like it's pressure and I agree. And I don't think that, you know, meditating is challenging enough for most people to even get to the point of that they're sitting on their pillow or whatever, just to get to that point. So then to say you have to sit for this amount of time or otherwise it's wrong or you're not doing enough, it's like completely defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I love that. Like, the should always kills the joy for me. And there's this, do you know the meditation teacher, Tara Brach?
Who?
She's a Tara Brach.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so she wrote Radical Acceptance.
Read
it. Jackie and I are taking a course with her in Jack Kornfield right now. Mm. And I read a blog post with Tara a while ago, and she said that she meditates every day, even if it's just for 5 minutes. And this is a Buddhist meditation scholar. This is someone who travels the world teaching meditation. And when she gave herself permission, in that exact moment, I gave myself permission. So as a teacher, as a yoga teacher and coach, I think it's really important for me to be absolutely transparent that meditation is hard. Some days I don't want to do it. Some days I sit for 5 minutes and I'm waiting for those 5 minutes to be over. But by giving myself that permission, like, I keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is, yeah, I know exactly who she is. I read the book in my book club.
So good.
Because so I saw good. Jackie reading it, and I thought, ooh, what is that? And I, like, looked into it, and I thought that would be, I have this little book club that's local. We meet up, and I thought, we read mostly personal growth self-help books, and so we chose that one. And, yeah, I think it's like that for anything, whether it's if you're a yoga teacher, people ask me all the time, you know, do you journal every single day or do you meditate every single day? And I get it. I get why people ask.
Yeah.
Because they assume like you must be like devoting hours of your days to these things because it's what you do for a living. But I'm like, yeah. No, like I've literally had, you know, how many days, especially like right now I'm healing an injury. No, I'm not doing yoga. Like I'm not really even being allowed to do yoga much right now, except for teaching and doing like mild demoing.
Yeah.
But it's like that immediate, does that make me a bad yogi? Because I don't show up on my mat one day because instead of that, maybe I really just wanted to go on a long walk, you know, or do a HIIT workout, something else, a different way of moving my body. And does that make me a bad yogi or a bad meditator? And it's like really easy to fall down that rabbit hole.
It's so easy to fall down that rabbit hole. And I think that's why it's really important to keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not just seeing social media and seeing, you know, perfect photos of perfect handstands and meditations and all of that, and instead like the real yoga practice is happening when you're on your phone and how you're showing up. And so I think it's really important to speak to that stuff and speak to what's hard across the board and how this practice serves us.
Right. That kind of leads me into a question that I wanted to ask you, because I think you seem really good at doing it and conveying it even on your social media. And I know that this is an important part to, you know, part of your mission, is how do you take yoga off of the mat? Or like, how do you describe that to other people? I've had people ask me that before, like, how can I take yoga off my mat? I've heard yoga teachers say it. I don't understand what they're talking about. Can you kind of elaborate on like what that means to you, how that's in your life?
Yeah. When I found yoga, I really started practicing when I was 18. But when I found yoga, I felt like I found something deeper because I grew up Catholic. I had explored other religions. I was always looking for the lens through which I could see the world that would make sense to me. And when I discovered the yoga practice and the philosophy of yoga, it just made sense, and it didn't leave anyone out. It allowed me to be myself, this full expression of me. And by taking my yoga practice off the mat, it's really the practice of presence. As I get older, I'm like, that's what I think it is the practice of presence, really showing up to the moment fully, which is hard work. Up fully and being aware of the expectations and the past beliefs and thoughts you're bringing to that moment, because it colors it. Mm-hmm. So when I notice that I show up to a yoga class, especially like a festival vibe, right? Mm-hmm. I show up with these expectations of how that class is going to go, or this teacher that I've followed on social media, how he or she speaks or how it'll be. I'm not there for the class because I have this other idea of who this person is. And we do it all the time. I do it in my marriage. Jackie and I have clearing conversations like every 3 days. And for me, the practice of yoga is that practice of presence and not taking stuff as personally. Instead, being willing to see stuff from other angles, which is so needed right now in our world. And then knowing too, when we need compassionate action, we need to be of service. Like you driving Bernie up the hill, 90-year-old Bernie up the hill, that's yoga. Mm. You even being able to recognize that someone was outside your car who needed your help, that's yoga. Right? Those moments of like practice and practice in action, to me, that is bringing your yoga off of your mat. And it is by far the most important part of the practice to me. The shapes are fine and I have fun putting them together and they feel great and I enjoy exploring them. But like that has nothing on this practice of presence and putting it into action. That's what's changed my life for sure.
Yeah, you're right. That was an example. Yeah. It's like compassion and you're right, even being present enough to see that there is a person in front of you and not being so distracted like driving or being on your phone driving or, you know, like just not even being aware that like someone was trying to talk to me, you know. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even really think about that, but you're right. I am really curious like how many people would be like, no, like I don't know you.
Yeah. I think about that all the time. I mean, I live in a huge city as well, and I love this city, and I think there are amazing people in the city, but it's still a big city, and there's a lot of technology and a lot of noise, and how do we step back and bring together our community? Like, I sat around this little table with six girlfriends last night that I've met through Wanderlust, and for almost 3 hours, like no one looked at their phone. All we did was talk. I lost track of time completely. And it's really hard for me to lose track of time as a Virgo and a bit of a And I totally lost track of time and just had the best time. And those moments are so special, and they're moments that are endangered unless we really watch at how we're spending our time and how we're connecting.
Oh, I love how you said that. They're endangered.
Yeah. I never heard of it.
Yeah, I never heard of it in that way. That makes it sound that much more serious. Yeah, like you really need to be aware of that. Yeah. I know. I feel you. Like when you just can sit without the phone, it is amazing. Even like a day is so clearing. It's like crazy how wired we are. It's when you go into the woods or something, it's like, you know, I'm going camping this weekend and I'm really looking forward to just checking out so that I can check in.
Yeah, absolutely. Camping's so good for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about it. So you teach full-time, correct?
Yeah. I teach and coach, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
would be, but I would definitely say, like, what you do is, you know, you're not working a 9-to-5 elsewhere and doing yoga on the side. Like, this is your career. This is how you live your life, how you make a living. Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's been full time for the last 6.5 years. So it's been my full time gig for the last 6.5 years, and I've been, yeah, I guess that's, yeah, mm-hmm. It's been that long, and 10 years of teaching.
I think a lot of people, even listening to this, and I know a lot of people that I know, I get that question of, like, how do you step into something like that? How do you even get there? How do you, you know, what you do for a living, it just seems like, to a lot of people, like, it's this dream life. Like, how do I get to there? I don't get it. I think that's just for certain people. Like, you got to get lucky, or you got to know the right people. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you hear it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So what was, like, your evolution? Like, how did you end up being Mary Beth LaRue, you know, yoga teacher at Wanderlust and co-founder Rock Your Bliss, teaching at festivals? Like, how did that happen for you?
Well, right out of college, I studied journalism, and I got a job working for National Geographic Traveler, and I was an online editor there. And I worked with some incredible people, but I knew right away, literally within moments, because I had interned as well, that I am not meant to sit at a desk. Like, it was just not my jam. And I also, at the same time, fell in love with yoga and right away signed up for a training. I'd probably been practicing regularly for like 8 months when I signed up for my training. And I told anyone who would listen that I would never teach. It was like, I had such a fear of public speaking, like shaking, like I can't even put it into words how scared I was of public speaking. And so teaching was never even an option because I couldn't do it. This was my belief. I could not speak in front of people. So I did my training and decided to leave my desk job and got a job working part-time at Lululemon. And then I was freelance writing on the side. And I, of course, fell in love with teaching while I was in my teacher training. I was still scared shitless, and this would last for years. But my love for what I was doing and sharing was bigger than my fear. Mm-hmm. And I started teaching on the side in DC and ended up moving to LA and working for Lululemon at their Santa Monica store. And within 3 days I met Jackie, who we didn't really hit it off right away. So that wasn't like Rock Your Bliss was formed right then. But I also met Allie Hamilton, who is the owner of Yogis Anonymous, and she gave me a class. And I was so scared to take it, Alyssa, that I told her that I couldn't because I was trying to find a place to live. Mm. And I was so overwhelmed. And honestly, like, I get why I said no. But I called her back 2 days later and was like, look, I made a mistake. She's like, I know. Class is here for you. And within 6 months, I had left Lululemon and with teaching. God, so I guess it has been longer than 6.5 years because it's been probably like 7.5 years of teaching full time because I hadn't met my husband yet. I was so scared for every single moment along the way, but I knew that I loved what I was doing. And even if I was struggling financially, that I would be so much happier offering yoga and writing and, you know, eventually coaching and whatnot than I was ever going to be in some safe salary and safe job and safe life. Mm-hmm. And so I made a habit of leaping when I was scared. And getting on stage and speaking in front of people, even when I was scared, I would just breathe through it. And I would find that I didn't die by the end of it. Sometimes were rougher than others. And for the most part, like, it did really, really open. And every time I met someone who I genuinely enjoyed, I really showed up and committed. So I've been really lucky to work with wonderful, wonderful people like Jackie Rock Your Bliss, Wanderlust Festivals, Yoga Journal. And I think a big part of why I've had a lot of like grace occur is that I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. Like every single day I wake up and I still get to teach yoga, and I show up and let's say there's 10 people in class, or there's 70 people in class, or I'm teaching a festival and there's 5,000 people in class at one of the 108s. It's like, I still feel like it's such a gift and such a treat. And I make sure that the people are there know how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I think when entitlement becomes a problem, people feel it. Right? Like, I'm entitled to get to do this, or this should be happening for me faster. Mm. There's a slow process and a slow evolution, and it's part of you becoming a better teacher and you learning. And I really think that that gratitude piece is necessary. It's really, really necessary. Mm-hmm. And for me, that gratitude just gives me endless energy to do what I do. Mm. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, if I drew a map of how I got here, it would have so many crazy squiggles, and there'd be like 20 sheets of paper and a bazillion people. It's like Ganesha, all the little things that have to happen to like mm-hmm. make this moment occur. This moment where I'm sitting in the corner of my yoga room and my husband's in the other room and we live in Silver Lake and all this crazy stuff is unfolding in our lives. Like, the all of these elements came into play, and the trust that you have to keep moving forward, you know? That's the practice, because that's tough.
Hell yeah.
Trusting that you're on the right path. And there's been plenty of moments I've been unsure.
Yeah, I feel you. That trust word is... Ooh, there's yoga off the mat.
Yeah, very true.
Oh, yeah, it's just like... And the gratitude as well. I mean, yeah, that's yoga off the mat. And like, you know, yeah, I think gratitude really is like the secret sauce.
I do too.
Yeah.
It just makes everything so much richer too. Mm-hmm. And when you express that gratitude to other people, genuinely, not just like, hey, thanks, but a real, genuine, grateful statement that you mean, like, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It feels
so
wonderful.
And
you
can't
receive and to give.
You can't fake it either. Like, you really can't. Like, you know when someone is bullshitting you.
Oh, God, yes.
And you're just like, oh, this is gross. Like, just don't.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing, like, I think why I've always really loved you and I've loved Rock Your Bliss, and because I never got that feeling like you were entitled.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Mary Beth LaRue. You know, I never.
God. Like, I can't even fathom. Like, who that person would be. It would be hilarious. Not a chance.
But, I mean, you know, people, I get it. Like, people see you on this, they see you on literally a stage in some instances, you know. And I know what you even said, like, you don't even love being on stages. I think you said that at Wanderlust. You like,
oh, yeah. I came and sat on the floor.
Yeah. I know. I always feel that. I'm like, oh, I'm not superior to you. Like, why am I up so high? Like,
definitely.
Bring me down. Yeah, bring me down to the all this level down here. This is good. Yeah, but I get it. I get why people see you in that light, and they look up to you, and they see you doing what you love to do. And I've even had some people say that to me, and it like kind of cracks me up because I'm like, really? Like, I'm like, no. Like, you don't understand. Like. I am just Alyssa. Like, I am just me. Like, I am doing the same thing you're doing. Like, You know, I just refuse to sit at a desk.
Yeah, no, but of course, and you're inspiring so many. And that's what happens when you follow your true path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I remember someone saying to me, one of the few people that was supportive of me leaving National Geographic, and they said, if you do this and it's meant for you, like, a lot of doors will open.
Mm-hmm.
And I just followed that. Like, there's been a lot of intuition that's come up for me in the last few years of choices I've made, things I've decided to stop doing. And when I listen to that intuition, so much opens. It's insane. Like, it really, truly happens. But when I used to sit and fight the idea that, you know, I'll just make it work in D.C. I'll make it work with this guy. This is who I'm supposed to be with. This job, I'll just tough it out. It'll be okay. Like, the more that we sit in that, I think the more miserable we become.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad I've had those experiences because I know what that feels like. And yeah. It's like me wearing like a full spandex outfit, right? Like not a yoga outfit, but something extremely uncomfortable that I can't wait to get off. And that's how, you know, when our lives are not feeling like they fit, then there are shifts that need to be made. And a lot of those shifts are internal. I don't mean quit your job, you know, divorce your husband, move to Bali. Most of those shifts have to happen internally. And then the external choices need to be made as well.
Ooh.
And sometimes those are big choices and sometimes they're small.
But the
work is inside.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Oh, preach. Yes. 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 Okay. So I love that. I love how you said, you know, you have to do the internal work before the external starts really shifting. That's, I think, imperative, because I think that's a lot of people's first thought is, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to go live in a tiny house. I'm going to go to Bali. Like,
oh my God, I love tiny houses.
Yeah. Brad keeps trying to get me to like get on board with one. And I'm like, but we want to like, you know, have a family in like 2 years.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
I don't want to live in one with other people, but I could have a weekend one by myself.
Yeah, I'm like, can we make it like a lake house, maybe? So, yes, I just love that. I love that it's like, that's not the first. The first step isn't necessarily the external stuff. It's doing the inside work that needs to. When you guys talk about in, you know, Rock Your Bliss, you always say, you know, make shift happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love. And it's like that shift is internal.
Yes.
Yeah. I just think that that's important for people to be aware of. You know, when people say like, well, how do I make the, I don't want to do this job anymore, or I don't want to be in this relationship, or I don't want to live here. Like, what do I do? How do I do? Like, you know, they can sometimes feel like they're like imploring you for help. Like, what do? I don't know how to take these steps. And that is some of the first things. It's not the external. You have to turn it in. Look inside and really analyze your shit and see what your truth is with a capital T, what I always say.
Yeah.
And then go from there and then make the shifts, you know?
Because even if you lead with the big shift, like, you're still going to have to do the cleanup work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's better to do, I believe, do it first so you understand your why. And then it makes it less painful when you doubt yourself. When I doubted, oh, did I leave a good job? God, this is hard to pay my rent, you know? Or was he the guy for me? Oh, my God. Like, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But knowing your why and
yep.
starting to trust your gut, it took me a long time to repair trust in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that my intuition was something that I should listen to, because there was so much noise upstairs, so much noise in my mind.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's something of just listening to your thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really like a deep gut experience in the moment, and like will start to steer you the right way.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I feel you, sister. I feel you. It feels like I get people ask that all the time, and I'm just like, yeah, it is hard. And I love that you said, you know, I kept taking big leaps, because I feel like that along that path is going to be leap after leap after leap.
Yes.
When you say yes to your truth, it will keep asking you to up level.
Yep.
It's never like, there's no end point to this whole journey, just like with yoga. Hello. Okay, there we go again. Yoga off the mat.
Definitely.
There's no end point to this whole truth seeking. It just kind of, and not to say that you want to burn out from it, because I think burnout happens with the truth seeking. That's why even Danielle Laporte just wrote a whole book on that. You know, did you read White Hot Truth yet?
Yes, yes.
You know, and I think that's such a valid topic of burning out from seeking truth. That's valid.
I think so too.
You know, I guess there's that gray area in the middle that we need to kind of hang out in, of not going too far with it. But it is kind of just this ever-moving target in some ways of just, you know, and I love that you said the why, because that's like one of my favorite words is like, why? Like, why are you doing that? Why do you want to be with that person? Like, if, you know?
Yeah.
That's a really good question to always root back into. I love that. Okay, so circling back into directly related with self-care, how has that changed for you? Like, how has your self-care, like, evolved or changed a bit as you've gotten older, wiser, you know? How has that changed? Mm-hmm. Has it?
My self-care in the past used to be reactionary self-care. So I would have trouble keeping boundaries in place, and then I would need self-care. And often it was because I was sick, because I had, like, gone past my boundaries. But I would need time alone, or, like, I would be, you know, like, so burnt out or sick or tired that I need several days to, like, put the pieces back together. And as I've gotten older, like, I'll be 34 in September, which seems crazy, and I love it. But my life has gotten so much quieter. Mm-hmm. Like, my life is actually much more full, and I'm traveling a lot and teaching a lot, and I have a lot going on. But, like, my inner world and what I need has quieted down a lot. And my self-care practice isn't reactionary. It's actually proactive to keep me in a good headspace, to let me show up and teach or return off the road and come back into my life and not need 4 days to recover, instead to, like, be able to roll back in and appreciate my time with my husband and appreciate my time with my friends and my students, etc. So
I get
that. I noticed
that,
like, a few things that just were always causing problems. Like, I don't drink alcohol anymore. Like I said, I don't drink a bunch of coffee. Anything that was, like, a stimulant, anything that, like, changed my inner chemistry was not working for me. I needed to spend more time quiet. I needed to spend more time on my mat. I needed to really put my practice into action. And in the last couple of years, I've done that in such a huge way. And like I, like, alluded to earlier, when you follow those actions and you listen in that way, so many more doors open. And that has been the case for me. The more that I've gone in and followed the truth that is mine and only mine, the more I've seen it reflected back to me in my outer world as well. Mm-hmm. So my self-care practice is, you know, meditating, practicing. I do a HIIT workout, like, 3 times a week. Also, I read all the time. I read, like, usually 2 fiction books a week. And making sure I have creative time as well. So maybe I don't get all of those things in a week or in a day, but I definitely can listen in and see what it is that I truly need and then move forward from there.
Yeah. And do you journal? I have to ask.
I actually don't right now, but I am going to, I want to get your cards and I would like to start. I blogged for a long time and I journaled prior to that. And I think that the blogging kind of messed with me because I was writing for other people instead of writing for me. And I haven't really totally delved back into that practice. And considering I came from a writing background, it's something that I definitely want to explore.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because you said you have that background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the world I thought I would be in forever. Mm-hmm. So
I think you have a valid point though about the blogging. I think if you make it for other people, it does it almost makes it like harder to then write for yourself because you almost are like, oh, I was already writing. Like, I don't have to write again. And yeah, I like sometimes I even get that way with if I'm teaching a lot, I feel like a burnout, like in terms of wanting to do my own practice. I have to be like, yes, Alyssa, you do want to do your own practice.
When I journal a lot for my classes, so I plan out my classes pretty extensively and write out my sequence, and I plan like the philosophical element or what I want to speak to, and I write that out. And that's always really cool because what I'm writing is what I have going on, you know, like whether I'm speaking to my experience, which is pretty rare. I think it's something I'd like to incorporate in more, but mostly just like taking that time to write and plan. So I'm coming to show up for my students in a really intentional way.
Yeah, so in a sense, it's like you really are journaling. It's just, again, there maybe that's the shoulding.
Yeah, I think it is. I think I have a lot of shoulds around writing, actually. That's a good point. I think I do.
I mean, they're like, of course, like, you know, the journal deck in particular is really focused on these personal growth type prompts and asking those deep delving questions. But I think even, yeah, like you said, journaling to write out your yoga class and what is the intention behind the class and the poses. Yeah, that is writing, girl.
It is. It definitely is.
Let me just like reframe that for you a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you.
You do journal in your own way. It's just a different way of journaling. Like, you know, some people, you know, their journaling is super messy. And it's just like other thoughts just brain dumped all over the place. And then some people, it's like really beautiful bullet journaling. It just depends. You know, the journal deck is just another kind of form of journaling, is the way I look at it. That's like really asking those deep questions and, you know, making you think. But it's all journaling. Yeah.
I'm excited to try
Yeah. So soon. Woo! I
it.
can't believe it's July. It's like, we've gone so fast. Okay, so this is a point where I want to ask you some just rapid fire questions and whatever comes to your mind, just say it.
Okay.
Okay. If you had to describe self-care in one word or feeling, it would be.
Restore.
Makes sense, since that's what you started with. In terms of self-care, I could be better at.
Speaking up about what I need.
My favorite form of self-care movement or exercise is
Yin yoga.
yin. That makes sense because you said restore, so that totally makes sense. Do you mostly teach yin or do you mostly teach vinyasa or
Vinyasa. But
yin?
I teach one class that I only teach three classes a week, and two of them are vinyasa into yin, which is so nice.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of how I learned to do it.
Love it.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. My self-care secret weapon is.
I would say actually my love of being alone. Like I love time alone.
Do you consider yourself introverted, extroverted, or I can't remember what the term is when you're in the middle.
Ambivert. I've always said introvert, but honestly, I've had so many people come up to me and be like, "Hey, I was wondering if you wanted to talk for a minute, but I know you're introverted," that I'm totally changing it to ambivert because I love people and I'm really good at knowing when I need to go back and restore, and I will take that time. So I would say that I definitely am a little more on the side of introvert because I need to be alone to fill back up. But I love people and I love experiences.
What's the
So,
term? What is it?
ambivert.
Ambivert?
Ambivert. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I think that might be me. I'm not sure. I think so. I don't know. I think I'm in the middle though, but yeah. I would say that too if I thought like just kind of in having talked to you and met you before, I don't get the impression that you're like, I know people that are 100% introvert and I don't think that that's you. You don't have that kind of energy. Like I've met people like that where I'm like, I can tell that they're like, uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely not that.
Yeah. Bath or shower?
Bath.
So I did know that you were going to say that, though, because Jackie told me.
Although I don't take as many as I used to. I do like a refreshing shower with a bunch of essential oils as well.
She told me that when she first met you, she was like, kind of like, almost jealous that you always took baths, and she was like, who takes a bath?
I grew up taking baths. I'd never even taken a shower until I was in like the fifth grade. What? I didn't even know. Yeah, we just like, I always took baths. My mom takes baths. Like, it was just like what we did, and it's so nice because it was so relaxing, and it was how I started my day every day before I went to school. It was a bath.
Oh, there you go.
Hilarious.
What is the last book that you read?
Oh my God, I just finished it last night. I think it's called You Have 7 Messages. It's an amazing, all right, I love young adult fiction. Like, I love young adult fiction. Because it's mostly, it's pretty much written for an adult, but it's just like, I find the topics so great. And it's a great fiction book. So I think that's what it's called, You Have 7 Messages.
Okay, I'll have to look that one up. I have to read a good fiction book. It's been a while.
And I'm reading, and I just started another book. It's called We Are Never Meeting in Real Life, and it's a collection of essays, and it's hilarious.
Oh.
It's really good.
Okay, so I'll have to look these up. I think I need a break from some self-help. I need to read.
I can only do one every, like, 3 months.
Yeah, I need to.
It's too much for me.
I need to do that. Okay. Last two questions. Milk chocolate or dark chocolate?
Milk chocolate, for sure.
Ah, you're on like one of two, I think, that has said milk chocolate.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know dark chocolate's healthier, but milk chocolate tastes better to me. So, milk chocolate.
Yeah, I have, like, everyone's like team dark. Okay.
Yeah.
Last question, rapid fire. What has been your favorite getaway place to teach yoga at?
Oh, actually, I love Vermont.
Really? Like, of all the places?
I love teaching in Vermont. I really love teaching in the United States because I think it's really important for us to see our country and meet the people of our country. So mm-hmm. I know a lot of getaways are outside the country and there's these like exotic places, but I found it really important and really cool to go to these places and talk to people who are American and live here, and I want to learn their experience and what it's like and what they believe and how their yoga practice is. And traveling with Wanderlust has been huge because I travel to American cities all the time. Mm-hmm. And the state of Vermont is, there are so few people. It is so lush and beautiful, and it's just, for me, a really healing place. Like, I can't wait to go back next year. I just think it's a really amazing place. So right now, I just got back, but right now that's what I would say.
I need to go to New England. I've not been.
Oh, it's so great. And I would say also Ojai is where we lead our Rock Your Bliss retreats now. It's right outside of, it's like an hour and a half outside of LA, and it's the most amazing little town. And I really love it there as well.
Sweet. I need to come to California. I've never been.
You have to. You should come on our retreat in January.
I want to come on one of yours. I know you guys just did that one that was near Pittsburgh in a treehouse in Ohio.
Oh, we did. Yeah. It was very cold. It was really amazing.
Yeah.
But if you want California vibes, Ohio.
I know. I do need to go to Cali. It needs to happen. It will. I would really love to see that state. I would. I've never been west, so.
Oh my gosh, you have to. It's so amazing.
I know, girl. I know. It's on the list. And I want to go to Wanderlust, like the studio and all that fun stuff. So.
Yes.
Okay. We've come to the point in the podcast where I want you to be able to tell everyone where they can find you because you're awesome sauce. So where can listeners find you?
I have a website, marybethlaria.com. I would say too, check out rockyourblissmovement.com. That's where we have our online courses, retreats, and workshops that are coming up. And then just mostly Instagram. It's at marybethlaria, L-A-R-U-E. and at Rock Your Bliss.
Do you also have, do you have online yoga classes somewhere?
Yes, I have online yoga on Yogis Anonymous, Yoga Anytime. I think I have one or two free classes up at Wanderlust TV right now, and I will have a ton debuting on Wanderlust TV pretty soon. So sweet. Keep your eyes peeled for those.
Guys, she's an awesome yoga instructor, so I really would look at those to see where you can practice with her online should you not be in Los Angeles.
Yes, come visit LA, Wanderlust Hollywood. It's a beautiful, beautiful studio.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all going to get there. We're going to get there. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Mary Beth. I seriously love what you guys do. I think you're awesome. And I freaking love Rock Your Bliss. I told Jackie, like, I love the combination. I love the idea of yoga plus coaching. It's part of what I do. I mean, I just love it. So just keep being awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
You're very welcome. Okay, guys, so that is a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Self-Care Spotlight brought to you by the Journal Deck, which is now available for pre-sale, along with our exclusive gorgeous mala necklace until July 31st, which is so, so soon. So get on it if you want to support dreams or own your very own deck. You can go to thejournaldeck.com/shop. And of course, the best place to stay connected during our journey is to join us in the private Facebook group, Journals and Journeys, where I'll be keeping you in a loop of our shipping. We also have this brand new meditation journaling challenge that is happening I think it's next week when this podcast will go live. And I cannot wait for you guys to hold one of these decks in your hands. Until next time, I am Alyssa Cousins signing off for the Journal Deck. Music by Lee Rosevere.